Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Look at it this way. It's like the banks are unruly teenagers and Congress is mom and dad.
For heaven's sakes, people, you know, it does seem really ridiculous.
That's Christina Romer. Yes, the banks have gotten in trouble in the past, but mom and dad bailed them out for the sake of the family.
We always did it because that's what had to be done for the American people. No one wanted to bail out the banks just for the bank's sake.
But the banks took the money that was supposed to strengthen the family unit, and they blew it all on themselves.
This big bonus season, of course it's going to offend the American people. It offends me.
Can we send them to their rooms? No dinner? They definitely don't deserve an allowance. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Monday, January 11th, and The Takeaway for me is it's a lot like with kids, John, because you can punish them, you can yell, you can fuss, but in the end, you can never completely control their behavior.
Well, it's this taxpayer allowance that's got me fuming.
Yeah.
So let's get right to the top stories we're following this morning. And the 112th Congress gets to work today, and one of its top priorities will undoubtedly be getting the economy back on track. The president's top economist, Christina Romer, you heard her there at the top of the hour, tells ABC News more stimulus money is needed to keep the sputtering economy moving. But an Associated Press report this morning contradicts the need for another stimulus. It found the first stimulus package for the construction of roads and buildings had virtually no effect on local employment.
Financial regulatory reform will also top the agenda on tap for Congress this week. A hearing to investigate the cause of the financial crisis. The heads of four big banks will testify in order to give a clear vision of what happened and how another meltdown could be avoided. This comes as the bank bonus season gets underway today on Wall Street. Goldman Sachs is expected to pay its employees an average of nearly $600,000. Many bankers throughout Wall Street getting six, seven, even eight-figure bonuses. For more now, we're joined by Eric Dash. He's a banking reporter for the New York Times. Good morning, Eric.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so we just heard about some of the top bonuses. Give me an average bank bonus if I were one of these upper executives.
Yeah, we're probably going to see some big sticker shock, probably upwards of several $1 million for some of the top executives, an average at some of the big banks that really performed well of several $100,000 a year.
Okay, so do you have to pay? Do you really have to pay an executive a bonus to keep them there?
You know, the banks argue they do, and it's really a tale of two banking stories here. You have profitable banks like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan saying, "Look, we earned this money fair and square," and then you have banks that didn't earn money or lost money, in fact, saying, "Look, we need to pay what the big guys are paying, too, because we're going to lose our people."
Okay, well, we're going to go more into those attitudes in a minute. Thanks. Just stay with us, Eric Dash. We'll be back in a moment.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is in some hot water after some controversial comments he made about President Obama during the 2008 campaign, after suggesting Obama could become the first black president because he was, quote, light-skinned and did not speak with a Negro dialect unless he, quote, wanted to have one. Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele says if a Republican had said the same thing about the president,
this chairman and this president would be calling for his head, and they would be labeling every Republican in the country as a racist for saying exactly what this chairman has just said.
But Democrats reject that double standard. They say President Obama has forgiven Reid and still supports him.
In California, the first federal trial to determine if same-sex marriages are legal under the Constitution gets underway today. It's a legal challenge to Proposition 8. Looking at the markets, Asian and European markets are up. Futures up as well. The Dow will start out at 10,618. The S&P opens at 1,144 and the NASDAQ at 2,317.
So it'll be interesting to see how the market reacts to the bonus season, that's for sure. Coming up on the show, we talk about family life every Monday. Can parenting duties ever be truly shared? I have some ideas, but we have lots more for you later on in the hour. We're talking about what Harry Reid said. How seriously are you taking his comment? You can call us at 800-543-2543.
This is Deborah from Portland, Oregon. I think this whole brouhaha is completely ridiculous. He's not a racist, and he didn't say anything that was judging Obama about the color of his skin. He was judging the electorate. To assess the role of race in an election is not the same thing as discriminating against someone.
The GOP says otherwise. What do you think? Coming up, paydays on Wall Street. Good morning, everyone. Two hot issues and one brand new phone number for you to reach us. We want to reiterate that number for you. It's 800-543-2543. 800-543-2543. To weigh in on Harry Reid being quoted as saying that President Obama might have been electable because he was a light-skinned African-American and had no Negro dialect. Also, weigh in on what kind of bonuses do you think Wall Street bankers deserve or not. You know how to reach us. 800-543-2543.
Speaking of bonuses, it's funny you should bring that up because this very week is when workers on Wall Street are going to find out what kind of bonuses they're getting. Sometimes these bonuses are 80% or more of what they're getting in salary. Many of these banks, Eric Dash was telling us earlier, even those that are losing money are planning to pay out huge bonuses that equal, in some cases exceed, what we saw before the banking crisis. We're joined again by Eric Dash, reporter for the New York Times. Good morning, Eric.
It's great to be here again.
So give me the details on these bonuses. What's the bottom end and the high end? Who's paying what?
So the sums are pretty staggering no matter where you look. At some of the big banks that lost money, it's probably the average or in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And at some of the big banks that made money, could be upwards of several hundred thousand dollars. And for the top executive suite guys, several million dollars a piece at least.
Now, if the point is to reward, if a bonus is supposed to reward someone for a job well done, how does a bank that is losing money justify giving a bonus?
Well, they say that everyone else is paying that money too. So if we don't give our employees money, we're going to lose them. We need to keep the best and brightest to keep us and nurse us back to health.
Okay, so let's listen to one of our listeners, what they had to say about this.
Why don't these people take a salary like the rest of the world? I don't get a bonus. And the people that should be getting paid these bonuses are doctors, nurses, social workers, teachers, not the finance people.
We're not talking about people whose salary is low. They have generous salaries, do they not?
Not by normal standards. They do have generous salaries. But in the warped world of Wall Street, they say, look, as a percentage of our overall compensation, our salary is pretty low.
Okay, well, the warped world of Wall Street is the subject that Dan Ariely studies. He's the James B. Duke Professor of Behavioral Economics at Duke University, author of Predictably Irrational. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
In the warped world of Wall Street, do you think that we should be having a further conversation about bonuses? Should we be changing the structure so that bonuses are not necessary in order to attract people?
So I think the discussion really has kind of two parts. The first one is how much money we should pay people on Wall Street. And then the question is, how should we divide that between a fixed salary and a bonus? And I think the discussion is kind of mixing those two. So the first thing is, how much should we pay them? How much do these people get paid in general, regardless of the method of payments, you know, stocks, bonuses, fixed salary? And I think this is the first kind of difficult part. Before the recession, we thought that they had particular amazing skill. We thought these were people that knew something that the rest of the world didn't. They were super special, able. You know, they got the market to go up for about 20 years. And because they were so good and so talented, they deserve a lot of money. And the recession basically showed us that they were not that talented. They didn't know that much. In fact, there were lots of things that they didn't understand at all. And all of a sudden, we're revisiting our understanding of how much skill is really involved in being a Wall Street person in general. I'm not saying that there are few people who have tremendous skill, but in general, when we think about the big size. The second thing is we believed in the market. We believed that the market was going to price things correctly, that stocks are going to be priced correctly, the bonds are going to be priced correctly because of the pressure of the market. And we also thought that salaries are going to be priced correctly because of the pressure of the market. But all of a sudden, our realization that the market is not rational, that the stock market is not working as it should be, makes us also wonder whether the salary market is not working as it should be. And we understand the problems of conflict of interest. In reality, what happened is you have lots of people who can get paid a lot of money, and they control their own salary, and they give themselves very high salary. I mean, think about it, Celeste. What would happen if you were in charge of salaries of radio broadcasters? I mean, wouldn't the salary structure change within the radio station?
Well, mine would. I don't know about John's.
Not so much, huh?
well, here's the thing, Eric, that the banks are arguing that because the economy has recovered, because the banks have recovered, that they don't, do not need banking reform, and that the rest of the country doesn't need to get their nose into what they're paying their employees.
Right. And that's the real tragedy of this. We had a crisis. Rahm Emanuel says, you know, look, never lose the opportunity to waste a crisis. And yet it seems like we are, because the farther we get away, the banks now have paid back the TARP money that they took. The pays are, he's almost powerless over the Wall Street firms. And the farther we get away and farther we get back to normal, the less we have at a chance of real reform, I think.
Dan Ariely, on Tuesday, they're going to start this financial crisis inquiry. But that's just looking into how this crisis began. They're not going to be talking about reforms. Have we lost the opportunity for reform?
I think absolutely we've lost some of it. And, you know, what I think the people on Wall Street don't understand or don't appreciate or don't at least admit is that we haven't really recovered. You know, we have this artificial recovery right now that is due to the incredible injection of public money into the banking world. And the fact that it looks like there's a recovery is basically people in Wall Street taking away tax money. Now, I'm not saying that every bank is taking directly, but the reason that the market is doing relatively so well compared to the rest of the economy is because we've sold our future and injected lots and lots of money into this situation. I do want to mention one more point, which I think is important, which is the question of how much do we pay in bonuses? You know, and we've done some studies, I think, John, I told him about this before, in which we ask the question of, do people perform better when we give them high bonuses? But, I mean, part of the logic is saying that we want to give people big bonuses because we want them to really perform well. We want them to be wonderful performers. And the question is this really the case? And as a thought experiment, you can ask yourself whether if you were going to have, let's say, a heart surgery, whether the moment before the operation you want to tell your physician, you know what, if you'll do this well, I'll pay you $1 million. Will you think that the physician, while operating on you, thinking about their bonus, will actually perform better? But anyway, we did this experiment. We went and we offered people one of three types of bonuses. Some people, we said, look, if you perform very well in the next hour, we'll give you a bonus equal for one day of salary. Other people, we said, if you perform very well in the next hour, we'll give you 2 weeks of salary. And the third group, we gave them 6 months of salary. And the big people, the people who got the biggest bonus, actually performed the worst. Why? Because the money just pressured them too much and performance went down.
Oh, wow.
But I think it's more than just being about big bonuses. I think it's not about paper performance. It's about the size of the zeros.
That's right.
And that people are just mad. It's not paper for firms.
People are definitely mad. That's Eric Dash, banking reporter for the New York Times, and Dan Ariely joined us. He's a professor of behavioral economics at Duke University. Thanks so much to both of you. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in now on the headlines.
In Afghanistan, NATO says 3 U.S. service members have been killed in fighting in the south of the country. And there is some good news in Afghanistan this morning. A survey commissioned by our partner, the BBC and ABC News, suggests Afghans feel better about their predicament than they did a year ago. And more than two-thirds of those polled supported the president of U.S. troops. That's up 14% on a year ago. The pollster spoke to more than 1,500 Afghans across the country in December, and we'll hear more about this later in the show.
North Korea says it wants to hold talks to reach a full peace treaty with the U.S. to replace the ceasefire that ended the Korean War. And the first federal trial to determine whether the U.S. Constitution prohibits same-sex marriage gets underway in a San Francisco courthouse today. The proceedings involve a challenge to California's Proposition 8 that bans gay marriage. That's a look at some of the stories that we're watching this morning. Coming up, we're going to talk about the political fallout from what Harry Reid said. Our D.C. correspondent, Todd Zwillick, gives us the details. And if you want to weigh in on that, Harry Reid's comments about Barack Obama, give us a call at this number just for today, 800-543-2543.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.